I had talked about a man at work, one of my coworkers. He's an atheist, and he approached me and another gal at work who also goes to this church and is a Christian. And he approached us, and he had questions. And he when I say challenged us, he wasn't belligerent. That's why I liked it. He did it in private with us too. He did it with no one other employees around. He had legit questions, and he was straightforward with them, you know, a little bit cutting at times because of that. And, you know, we answered his questions, you know, and gave him the biblical truth, you know. And so it was really funny. Then after that, we were moving out some stuff from an apartment building that had caught on fire, and we were moving down the sidewalk, and he was on one end of something real heavy, and I was on, and it was really strenuous on us working. And he said something like to the effect, I got to be careful, I'm going to fall down, hurt myself, I'll end up killing myself doing this. And I said, oh, I don't want that. I said, I'm going to be praying for you. And, you know, we're right across from each other, facing each other, carrying this thing. And he goes, so when you say that, Kenny, are you really going to pray for me, or are you just saying that? And I said, no, John, I am praying for you. And he said, so are you teasing me, or are you telling me you actually pray for me? I said, John, I pray for you personally. And he goes, well, that is really weird. And I said, no, I pray for you, John, personally, for you, personally. And he, you know, caught him off guard, because he thought I was just, you know, how you say that, I'll pray for you, you know. He thought I was just doing that knee-jerk reaction, as we do sometimes. And I told him, I sincerely pray for you, John, that I do, because, you know, we have our differences. And, of course, I want to see him come to salvation. And it's one of those times when you look at someone, you say, why would I spend that much time with someone like that? Well, it's because he took the time to close the doors in private, which means something's going on in here, in his heart. He was looking for answers up here, but the answer's here. So he wanted the head smarts, but what he really needs is the heart transformation. And if I close that door on him, I might be the one that God put in his life for that divine appointment to be there for him. So Friday, I get off work, and I'm driving home, and there's a text message, so I pull up my phone, and it's John. And he says, hey, Kenny, I just wanted to say thank you for all you do. That's all he sent me, the text Friday. Now, wasn't that neat? Because I can see right there, I felt so good that I'm building a bridge with this man who, if you look at us, we're diametrically opposed to each other when it comes to our views on theology. And, I mean, literally, you couldn't be more diametrically opposed. And yet, because of the fact that I decided to bring him in instead of to shun him, that there is a door now open for me to minister to this man and to hopefully someday have him come up front here like we saw today and have him accept Jesus Christ. And what a glorious time that would be to have that man give his heart to the Lord. And as you all know, I'm not even speaking yet. This is all free. As you all know, that when that happens, you don't affect just that one life, because as Pastor spoke today, he has an intimate circle that he powerfully influences, that, like Pastor talked about, that influence. As he's a married man. So if that happens to John, that influence would be carried to others. And then now there is that, it spreads out like the ripple in the water. So that's the thing why we want to do that, is you don't want to close doors when you have a door that's open. You want to make sure that you nurture them moments and seize those moments, because God is going to use that. And if you're patient and if you are open and kind to these people, even though you disagree, the door will open and you can start planting seeds. And the Holy Spirit does the work. It really does, you know. We can be there, but the Holy Spirit will do the work. Tonight, Pastor has had the theme going on, togetherness. So tonight, I'm going to speak on togetherness. I've titled this sermon, No Man is an Island, The Power of Togetherness. That particular phrase, many of you have heard that, you know, throughout the years, you know, or centuries, no man is an island. That was actually, that phrase came from John Donne, a 17th century English priest. What had happened is, John got very sick. And he was a man of God, and around him were a lot of people that cared about him. And while he was sick, people began to come to him. Instead of leaving him alone, they came to him and they supported him, encouraged him. And he wrote that phrase, and he wrote some other phrases that we use also. But he penned that phrase then at that time, because he realized when we're out here, we're not an island. There's people around us, and you can't survive on an island by yourself. You need to have people in your life to enrich you, to encourage you, and to support you, and get you through that. And John realized that, that at that time, he realized that no man is an island, that we have so many wonderful people around our lives. And then it went on, many of you probably have saw the movie from 1960. It's one of my absolute favorite movies, No Man is an Island. The movie, and it's interesting they named it that because the same thing, the gentleman who was, it's a famous gentleman, George Tweed, Navy radio man, the island of Guam was taken by the Japanese in 1941. There was a small company of Navy men on that island. Of them, all of them were slaughtered, most of them were beheaded, they were tortured, it was gruesome. George Tweed, he managed to survive. He made it for 2 years and 7 months. The only person on that island that you know could survive. He was on his own. They were all looking for him. They knew he was alive still. They were hunting him down on the island of Guam. What happened is that the people of Guam began to realize this man was not going to make it by himself on this island by himself. He could not survive. They came to his aid and they began to covertly do things for John and move him from place to place to place. They begin to give him the things that he needed to survive, and they begin to even help him be able to communicate with the outside ships that he needed to communicate with to try and get rescued. And in the end, he was the only one that survived. He made it off the island, and it was only because of the support of the people that came in to help him, because he realized, you know, and like I said, the movie depicts it beautifully, that by himself, he would have been slaughtered. And that would have been a horrible thing. This nation that we live in here right now, we live here today, this nation was formed on the principle of togetherness. And if Cody will put that up there real quick, or Josh, sorry. Many of us should be able to quote this, right, by heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for who? All. Togetherness. Everything about this, that is a four sentences there, just short, look at that. But look at the power when that was pinned, when they pinned that, look what they thought of. They thought of the unity and the togetherness of this great nation. They realized, like, no man is an island, no nation can survive on its own. It needs to have its people have solidarity and have unity in there. And that's the way, when this nation was formed, that's the way we begin to grow as a nation. The problem is this, that you just spoke earlier. We're starting to see a downslide. We're starting to see a degradation in our nation. We're getting away from the togetherness. There's so much division in this nation. It's rampant, and as you said, you can go see it happening in our town, you can see it happening in our nation, and it's frightening what's going on. There's an enemy out there, and we all know that. It's Satan. And it says in, let's turn your Bibles, 1 Peter 5:8, if you would. Turn to 1 Peter 5:8. It was funny, I was going to put the scriptures up there, and I changed all this, so I'm scrambling around to do a quick PowerPoint, and Susan, I gave her some PTO, so she didn't have to do it today because it was such a short notice, but my daughter was sitting on the couch, and she's like, Dad, do you need anything PowerPointed? And I said, a couple slides would be great just to give reference to where I'm going. And she said, what about your scriptures? And I said, no, and she goes, you know, the people should look them up in their Bible, shouldn't they? And that's what she said, you know. And I said, that's actually really good. You know, it's good for us because it helps us learn, reference our Bibles, where to go in there. I'm going to put my readers on, guys. These eyes are just not going to cut it here. Here we go. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. This is the enemy we face now. This is a real enemy. And the thing about this is, when you look at the military conflicts we've had, Your enemy was obvious. It was a physical entity that you could see. The enemy that we face, guys, is spiritual. He's crafty. And guess how long he's been around? From the beginning of the formation of this earth. So what enemy could be better prepared to bring disruption and disunity and strip togetherness from this body than someone who has been around from the beginning of time and has seen the formation of not only this world, but he has seen the formation of the church itself. The church itself. He was there. He saw the formation. He did everything he could do in his power to disrupt and to try to prevent the church age from coming about, because he did not want, because Jesus was one man walking on this earth, but Satan soon realized real quick that as Jesus ministered to one, and then it became 12, and then as pastor said today, 120 in that room, and then it spread to 3,000, and then it kept spreading, Satan began to realize this togetherness thing was going to be a problem for him in his mission to tear apart Christians and to tear apart every living creature. And Satan realized he had a task on his hands. And as Christians, we have to learn that unity and togetherness, as pastor has put the theme here, it really is the thing that will help this body. Because I'm going to tell you guys, this is not prophetic at all. This is just straight out wisdom and understanding. We're about to go through some rough times in this nation. I'm talking right now in this. There's changes going on. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be a prophet. I'm telling you, I'm not being prophetic here. I am telling you, there is something coming very quickly into our nation. And it's all about bring about disunity and tearing apart the togetherness of the body of Christ in every way they can. Because there is a faction out there, listen to me, there's a faction out there, they don't just despise, they hate, listen to me, they hate Christianity. They hate it. And I don't use that word, you know, just flippantly. I'm telling you right now, that is the truth, that they hate it. Because everything in them is being fueled by the devil himself. He is bringing an uprising in them. And we are about to go through a time that where you and I, listen, I'm telling you, we are going to have to make tough choices. And I'm telling you, people will start to have to make a decision. Do I want to fight this fight? Do I want to stay together? Do I want to have solidarity and unity in this body? Because it's not going to be easy what's about to happen. And I'm telling you, I will tell you right now, there's going to be a lot of people that will not be able to hold up against the pressure that they're under, and they're going to fall away just because they're going to look at that and say, I can't do that. I can't do that. And I'm telling you, when we stay together as a unit, when we stay together, we are so much more powerful. There is so much strength in numbers. There is so much power when you stay together. When a group comes together and begins to call out to God, listen, he hears every prayer. We do know that. If you're on your knees in solitude before the Lord, does he hear that prayer? Yes, he does. Is it just important? Yes, it is. But let me tell you, scriptures tells us about the power of corporate prayer. When corporate prayer happens, things happen in the spiritual realm that are mighty and powerful. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to take a lot of people, us, coming together in solidarity and unity and being together, and we are going to have to start to pray. And I'll tell you something that I've learned, and scriptures makes it plain, and you can read this. Fasting and prayer, when they work together, are powerful tools. And it's I will tell you what, it's more powerful than any of us can even comprehend in our mind. Because we have a finite mind. God is infinite. And I'm telling you, when the scriptures talks about that, that this kind cannot go out, that the demons could not be thrown out of that person except by fasting and prayer. This was the disciples. They personally walked with Jesus Christ. Their mentor was in flesh and blood with them. And yet they could not cast the demon out. They could not. It said this kind goes out not but by fasting and prayer. We're coming into a time and an age. I'm way off my notes. I'm sorry. We are coming into a time and an age to where we are going to have to develop disciplines in our lives. And it's going to require that we have time of devotion, that we have a time of prayer. But here comes a hard one, and it's a hard one for me. Fasting. We need to combine those three things, because that is a powerful, powerful formula when you use those against the enemy. And the world is being influenced by the enemy. So we look at the world, and yet it's the enemy who's influencing them. I'm going to get back on track. many years ago, I was actually going to have Sonny sing this song in Abbey tonight, and I thought, oh, I'll just, I don't, you know, we won't. But I know they remember. We're Together Again. How many of you remember? Does anybody remember the old hymn, We're Together? Look, I knew, it's so funny. I know the people, I can see everybody. We're Together, that's Sonny right back there. I was going to have Sonny sing that tonight, and I thought, oh, no, I'm not going to, but I was going to tell Sonny. Sonny, let's sing that hymn right before you, you know, get done there. But for those of you who don't know, it's really simple. It goes, we're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Now that song, that hymn, seriously, that is the whole thing. It talks about unity, together, getting, and look what it says, we're together again, praising the Lord. We're together, what? In one accord, with no divisions and no divisiveness. And that's the thing in this church body that we need to come to, is understanding that there's areas where Satan is on attack against togetherness. I'm gonna look at three of them here tonight. First one is quite obvious, I just alluded to it. And I don't have to touch on this very long, but I can just say the word and you guys all, oh yeah, political attack. There is a political attack. And when I say that, when you look at what's going on with this nation, we are right now at a huge, I'm telling you guys, we're at the precipice of a humongous paradigm shift that this nation has never seen, because in the beginning, when the men pinned the stuff and when they had the Pledge of Allegiance, when all this stuff was being out, there was solidarity and everything was based upon the Word of God. It really was. And yet now we're finding out that the Word of God is literally becoming hate speech. And this is what it's being called. In Canada, they've had them remove some scriptures from the Bible. Pastor Harris could not go to Canada and preach some of the things that he can preach here right now, because he would be arrested for preaching some of the things that he can preach with the Freedom Share. And let me tell you, if we don't grasp this, that we're under attack, and the togetherness that we need to have together, because listen, in politics, we have a voice, do we not? Because though the enemy is fighting, who's stronger? Our Lord and Savior. He's on the throne. And let me tell you what, it's clear. I believe it was Daniel. It said, it is you, O Lord, who appoints kings, and you, O Lord, who deposes kings. So everything that happens, I like what Sonny used to say. God never says, one thing God never says is whoops. God has never woke up and, oops, oh boy. That has never happened. So when we see something, God doesn't wake up one day and say, oh boy, how'd that happen? Everything is in his grand plan. But listen, we are mandated, listen, we are mandated by scriptures to be a part of his plan. And that doesn't mean passive, that means proactively being a part of God's plan. So when politics, when we see them going awry, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? We need to vote according to the Word of God, not according to what the world is saying. This, not what a popular person gets up. Right here is how you vote. So you want to know the agenda? It's right here. 66 books gives you an agenda on how you can vote. And if anything is contrary to these 66 books, if anything is contrary to one, literally one verse in here, you don't vote for that, because everything in this is inspired by God. This book is God-breathed for you and for I. And it's all about the unity of us, bringing us together. So when we're going to vote, I don't care, Pastor alluded to, I don't care what party you're part of. So like he said, if you're a Democrat, if you're Republican, if you're an independent, if you're a Green Party, there's too many parties. It doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I don't want to get into foolish debates. But yes. Amen. Amen. No. Amen. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Yes, exactly. Because this, everything here, it's about a nation, but yet it comes down to this, guys. It comes down not just to this body. You know, I pastors talking corporately togetherness, but think about this. It comes down to each one of our attitudes towards Scripture. That's what it comes down to. It comes down to our individual. And if you're not in the Word, if you're not praying, How can you possibly hear from God? Because how you hear from God, first of all, is his written word. First, this is it. You hear, first of all. Secondly, the Holy Spirit, which always gives confirmation to his written word. It's never contrary to this. The Holy Spirit will always confirm what is in here, which is in your heart. So if you're getting it here, that's great, but you better get it here, because this comes from here. The Holy Spirit will get to the heart. This gives you knowledge, but the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and give you power. There's a big difference. You need all that. That is how you're going to defeat the enemy. We have got to be together on that. And when this church begins to see that and comes together and gets away from the foolishness of trying to debate over politics, just, you don't have to debate. It's right here. There's no debate. It's very simple. And I didn't mean to get on a political tangent there either, so forgive me. But that's something that we need to do. We need to vote according to God's principles. Next is the social issues and social classes. This is where the enemy is really trying to tear apart a lot of churches. Because Pastor made the comment here, this has been a while back, and this comment was really wonderful, Pastor. I can't remember when it was. But he made the comment, and I'm paraphrasing. He said, he'll be happy, looks forward to the day when he comes up here and he smells alcohol and tobacco. Because guess what that tells him? Guess what that tells him? Those people are sitting right here where Pastor gets to preach the word of God to them and gets to get them on their knees here. And I thought, Pastor, good for you, because guess what? Some churches, I'm telling you, listen to me, some churches don't want that. They want it all clean. And let me tell you what, revival is messy and it's dirty. It's disruptive. It will make you uncomfortable. But if you're not in it, if you're not in it, all the way, I'm telling you, you'll bail out, because you'll go, this is too much for me, because you're going to have social, the enemy is attacking right now us on the social issues, trying to get, you know, so if a gay or lesbian walks in here, are we going to shun that person and run him out the door? What good have we done? Have we really, is that togetherness? Is that unity? No, it's not. You need to love every single person that comes through them door. And then you let the Holy Spirit do the work, because that's not your place to change their heart. You can't bring them salvation. Only they, by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, can find salvation. It's not through what we do or say. So when that happens, we've got to be ready. Our pastor has a heart. He has a heart. For missions, and I'm not just talking mission, I'm talking right here. He just proved that last weekend. Our pastor has a heart, because he's out on a mission. This is his missions field right here too, folks, right here. His mission field is also this very intimate group right in here, around his neighborhood, around the city. That's powerful, because missions are wonderful. When you look at missions abroad, yes, we are all about that. But that's what we do. We do that. But we also need to pay attention to what's going on right here around us. And if we are going to look at people because of their social views and their values, and they come in here and all of a sudden, well, look at that person. They really don't dress nice. Do you know the story behind that person when you say that? You absolutely do not. You absolutely do not know the story behind that person. How do you know that that person didn't just lose a child or something, and they're broken, and they're asking God, where were you, God, when my little girl died, when my little boy died? Where were you, God? That person could be asking God right then, crying out to God, I don't see you in this mess, God. Where are you? And they walk in here, and because they're a mess and they're tattered, and maybe they've been on a bender and they're drink, and maybe they've been stoned for days and weeks and months, and they're torn apart, and all of a sudden you and I look at them and say, wow, who is that? Boy, that guy really stinks. Well, he's weird. I wonder if he's going to pull a gun and knife. And what attitude is that? How about trusting God and saying, that's who we want to walk through them doors, and that's who we want to minister to, and we want to do that together, and we want this body to grow together. We don't want to separate the body. We want to have unity in the body and bring it together. And it's so hard for us because we have preconceived ideas and notions about people, but we judge before we even know a single thing about them on appearance. That is so wrong. And if you look at what Christ did, when he ministered, was it always a comfortable place where he went? Are you kidding me? He was ridiculed for where he went, because people said, how could you possibly go to them people? Because he reached out to them. Not only did he reach out to them, he loved them and he socialized with them. He was in with them, and they respected him. And because of the respect they had for him, they began to love him and realize this is truly the Son of God. And many, many thousands of people became converted because Jesus took the time to not worry about social classes that were supposed to be the norms. He reached out to everybody. He reached out to everybody. And that's what we have to do. He modeled for us because the enemy is attacking us in the social areas to try to make us uncomfortable. And our pastor has said from this pulpit, he wants this church to be prepared for that moment. And I'm telling you right here, this is a small group, but I will tell you right now, there's a lot of power in here. If you grasp this, and if we start to understand the value of prayer and fasting and getting into God's word, I'm telling you what, pastor's load will be a lot less when we start to join in together, corporately as a body. When this man's not out on an island, when he has the support of a body behind him, you're gonna see powerful things happen in this church. But he can't do it by himself. He can't. He is our shepherd, and he needs us to follow him, and he also needs us to get out and bear some of the burden for him. And we gotta have eyes for people, and we gotta have an understanding when they come through them doors, we need to love on them and help our pastor. That's what we are called to do. And we have to do that. And finally, the other area that is under attack right now by the enemy, and there's a divisiveness happening, and this one is a big one. It's in the religious sector. When I say that, I'll put the quotations in there. Pastor again alluded today to if you have churches that are evangelical, Bible-teaching churches, and like he said, it doesn't matter if you're Protestant, if you're Catholic, if you are teaching the Word of God, and you're not perverting this Word of God anywhere, if you're not altering this Word of God, if you are preaching the Word of God, then why are we becoming divisive with them? Why do we say, oh, but that person, they go to that church over there. You know what I heard about that church? Yeah, that church does this, or that church does that. You know what I heard about their pastor? Whoa, boy, you know. Why would we do that? Because when we say that, people hear that. And who wants to be drawn in to a body that is divisive and eating its own alive? Seriously. If you're eating your own alive, what draw do you have to bring people into this body when we can't even come into unity ourselves? We got to tear another church down because they might be a little bit different than us. They might not have the same beliefs. Let me tell you, the core values of the gospel, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross. He is the only way to salvation. There is no other way. And I'm telling you, when you preach that, when you get outside of that, I'm telling you right now, in heaven, God's not going to look at you and say, ask you questions about that. What, you know, he's going to look at you? He's going to look at you and, what did you do about my son? What did my son mean to you? That's the question. That's all that matters. When you stand before him, you can't work yourself into salvation. So when you stand before God, it's all about that. So why are we worrying about the other theologies when the only theology that matters, that is Jesus Christ, died on the cross. He is the Son of God. Salvation is through Jesus Christ only. Beyond that, let's not argue. Let's not tear each other down. Let's come together because the world loves to see divisions amongst the body. Because I don't care what your title is. Pastor made that plain today. It doesn't matter. Methodist, Baptist, it doesn't matter. You can be Open Bible. You can be First Assembly. It just doesn't matter what you are as long as you're preaching the gospel message. Let's be together. And let's not tear apart. Let's not cause divisions when there shouldn't be divisions. I put together a little slide here. Cody will put that, or Josh. Sorry. Cody got transformed into Josh. Oh, you're there too. Right here, left-hand column, synonyms of togetherness. Right-hand columns are the antonyms. Let's look at the columns together. Let's just look. When you look at this, and you look at the three areas we just touched on, the political, the social, and the religious areas, if you... Oh. Was I supposed to sing? When you look at that, if you look at togetherness, the synonyms, unity, alliance, association, collaboration, connection, partnership, closeness, affiliation, companionship, and coherence. Now you look at the other side and you go, we have resentment, you have discouragement, you have dissatisfaction, you have estrangement, aversion, segregation, disassociation, separation, alienation, and discord. And right now, if I was to tell you, let's start with the first one. If I was to say, let's look at the areas Satan's attacking, the political areas where I just brought up. Now, which side of that column looks like it more fits right now? Let me ask you, people, for real. Does this take a rocket scientist for you to say, does it look like we have togetherness? Are we on the synonym side politically? No, look at this. We are a nation horribly divided because the enemy has come in and allowed our politics to divide even churches. Even churches are being divided because of that. We're in that column. You should not be residing in that column ever. There's no reason to be residing in that column whatsoever. You should be over here. And then the next one, the social class. So you look up there again, and you look at that. Are we getting unity, alliance? Do people feel this when they come in our body? Do they feel a closeness? Do they feel a partnership when they come in this church? Do they feel companionship? Do they feel that when they come in? Do they feel a closeness? Or when you come over here, do they feel resentment? Do they feel disagreement? Do they feel discord, segregation, aversion, alienation because of the way they are and their social class? So if you're not in this column, when it comes to your social views, if you're over here, there's a problem with you. I'm telling you right now, if you can look here and say, I reside over here in quite a few, then you need to get on your knees and correct that. That is an area of your life that you can begin right now in 2019, begin correcting that and transfer yourself over to this next column on your views to these people, because they need to see you over here. And finally, the religious. Now look at this. So do we have unity, alliance, association, collaboration, connection, or do we have the resentment, disagreement? The churches right now are starting to shift over into this column. And a lot of that has to do with, and I don't want to get political, but it really does, has to do with a lot of the politics and the political changes going on in this nation that are causing churches to have to make the decision. And this is sad to say, it's sad to say, the decision is between this and the laws of the land. And what's the Bible say? We are to obey the laws of the land, except when? When they are contrary to the word of God. We obey every law of this land. Render unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's. But I'm telling you right now, when it is contrary to the word of God, then we stand firm on the word of God and we don't change. And we need to be in this column over here. We need to not let our religious views and our biases and our preconceptions, whatever, to push us into this column and to move people away. Because we may have people coming through this door who come from a different denomination. They may have been raised Catholic. They may have been raised in a Baptist. My wife was raised in a Methodist church. When she came to this church, she thought it was weird. Pastor said it today. You said that. She thought it was weird. She used to sit back over there. And she thought it was weird because she was raised in a Methodist church. And guess what? People could have resented her. They could have begun to look at her with aversion. They could have alienated her because, really? So you don't believe the way people believe? They believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and died on the cross, and that's through salvation, it's through Jesus Christ. And then you want to make an issue about it and begin to get on that column over there, and you begin to drift away from what God's plan is for us, which is to come together as a body. And I'm telling you, again, I'm not a prophet. This is just logic. We are in for a really tough ride coming up, folks. And I am telling you, we're in for a rough ride coming up. And you better find yourself over here on this column, and because it's going to be so easy to get drawn from there to there, it is going to be so easy for us to migrate over to here. Because the worldview, the popular view, seriously, folks, am I making that? That's where the worldview is. Watch the news. Watch any talk show you want. That's what's up there. And I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. Watch your talk show with whoever you like. And you're going to find that there's disagreements and there's discord and there's dissension on their views. That can't be us. That can't be us. We cannot get drawn into the silly foolishness that the devil wants us to do, to distract us from God's plan, which is to come together in the last days when the attacks start and to be powerful. And that's what we have to do. So what I'm imploring us all tonight to do is to stand strong and to fight for that. So how do we cultivate an atmosphere of togetherness? Turn to 1 Corinthians 1:10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Here we go. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Now turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. Says, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Now, listen, that's pretty simple. Look what he says. Be kind to each other, but then he doesn't stop there. What's he say? To everyone else. What's he saying? He's saying, church, get out of your inner circle and don't just think that you got to nurture your church body. You need to be nurturing the lost. That's what you need to do. And that's why he puts that last phrase in there, because otherwise he would have stopped at each other and not gone on to everyone else. That everyone else is very important because it shows us the Great Commission. Those words right there are the Great Commission right there. And that's why he did not want the people to think, get comfortable where you're at in your body and nurture each other and cultivate each other. Not at all. Not at all. So we need to be prepared for a messy time. We're stirring up the soil right now and you cultivate it. It gets muddy, it gets icky, it stinks, it's nasty. But I'm telling you what, in the end, when you cultivate, what happens? You harvest a magnificent harvest, because through that muck and mire, the seeds are planted, out comes a wonderful harvest. And that's what Christ wants for us. Be ready to cultivate the dirt, get it moved up, get it tore up, get it around, make us uncomfortable, because we're gonna plant seeds. And that requires us to be together as a body. Come together. Make our pastor's job easy. Make it so Pastor Harris can just sit over in the office, twiddle his thumbs, go, what do I do today? I have no issues. No issues. Wouldn't that be wonderful, Pastor? Pastor could work, you know what he could do? He could probably work, get two or three sermons done in a week and get some ahead, right, Pastor? Be ahead. Because we as a body would come together and begin to help him bear some of the burdens in this body by doing what we're supposed to be. We're going to live in this column here. We're not going to live in that column there. And we're going to help our pastor grow this church, and we are going to be able to hold up against what's about to come. And that's what God wants from us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I do thank you so much for the sacrifice you made of your son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, that you have given us the Holy Spirit, Lord, to guide and direct us. Your Spirit lives within us, Father. We have your word, but we have your prompting, Lord, of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, Lord, guiding and directing everything we do and say. Father, I pray right now that each one of us, Lord, begin to examine ourselves right now tonight, and that we make changes this week, Father, that we begin to focus on unity and togetherness, Father, and we take away the divisiveness, Lord, that is out there, Father, and we begin to cultivate right now, Father, and we begin to look forward to a harvest, Lord, of lost people coming to this church, Lord, no matter how messy it gets, Father. I pray that we are prepared for that, Lord, Father, and that we are together, and that we are together in mind and spirit, Father, and that we are able to follow your leading and your prompting and your direction, Father. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Woo. Kenny, next time you come to preach, I want you to get a little fired up. Okay? Make sure you pray in the Holy Ghost. Get all